بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، والعاقبة للمتقين، ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين، والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وخاتم النبيين وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهده واستنى بسنته ومن سار على نهجه إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد. أيها الإخوة الكرام، أيتها الأخوات الفاضلات، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله تعالى وبركاته. Welcome to the study of Surah Al-Kawthar. And this surah, subhanAllah, despite its shortness, there's an abundant amount of gems, pearls, and wisdoms that can be extracted. It's the shortest surah in the Qur'an, among, of course, Surah Al-Nasr and Surah Al-Asr, comprising of only how many ayat? Three. And despite its shortness, the kuffar of Quraysh could not produce a surah like it despite them being challenged to do so. Allah Ta'ala said, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَى عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِنْ مِثْلِهِ. If you're in doubt concerning that which was sent down to our slave, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Qur'an, produce a surah, one surah. And the shortest surah in the Qur'an is only comprised of three ayat. They couldn't do so. And don't forget, these people were the masters of the Arabic language, the most eloquent in al-lughat al-arabiyya. Yet despite that, they failed to do so. Showing once again the linguistic marvel and the creativity of the Qur'an, subhanAllah. Let them dumbfound. They decided to take up arms and go to war with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and put everything on the line to risk their health, their wealth, their family, their reputation, everything. All they had to do was sit down and come up with three lines. Imagine it was said to you, this enemy of yours, you can defeat him in one of two ways. You can either go to war, go and fight, risk everything, or sit down and come up with three lines. What would you choose? Of course you choose the easier option. Why risk your health? Why risk your life when you can defeat them with three lines? But no, they decided to go to war. They, subhanAllah, shows that they were unable, subhanAllah. It incapacitated them. And that's the meaning of ayah. Ayah is commonly translated as sign, right? Verse sometimes. But that really doesn't give it justice. It's definitely not verse. Where do we find the word verse? Where do we find the word verse today? In the Bible, right? It's definitely not the Bible. Where else do you find the word verse? Poetry. It's not poetry. Where else do you find the word verse? What do people listen to a lot? Music, right? Verses, etc. It's definitely not music. So to say verse, it's giving the word ayah an injustice. Among its meanings is alama. It's a sign. It's a sign from Allah. That's one of the meanings, alama. And also mu'ajiza. Mu'ajiza. What does a mu'ajiza mean? By the way, we're going to keep these lessons interactive. And if the sisters want to call out, not a problem. Ahsant, brother. MashaAllah. Excellent answer. This word mu'ajiza is derived from the word ajaza. Okay, and we all know in Arabic, big words come from small words. Just remember that as a general rule. Big words come from small words. But what is mu'ajiza commonly translate to in English, usually? Miracle, right? Miracle. And ajaza means ahsant, incapable, right? If I said ajaza Muhammad an hadha, Muhammad was unable, right? Al-ajz, inability. That's why the elderly woman is called ajuz. Why? Because she's unable to do many things that she was in her early days. For example, like become pregnant, fall pregnant, you know, run as fast as, you know, she can't run as fast as she used to, etc. So the elderly woman is called ajuz. You see, because it came from the word ajuz, unable. So the word mu'ajiza came from ajuz and ajaza because people are unable to perform it. You see? But it's a mu'ajiz. Mu'ajiz. In Arabic, this is called ismul fa'il, the doer. In other words, it incapacitates others. So, number one, the mu'ajiza, people can't perform it. But number two, it actually, the mu'ajiza incapacitates them. It makes them unable, subhanAllah. It's a mu'jiz. And the ta' marbuta is added for mubalagha, to exaggerate something. So it's something which is excessive. It's something which is colossal. So it's a huge, colossal miracle that incapacitates its opponent. So really, if you want to translate the word ayah, you'd write it as follows. Ayah means a miraculous sign, or a colossal miraculous sign from Allah that incapacitates its opponent. That's ayah, if you want to translate it. A colossal miraculous sign that incapacitates its opponent, incapacitates others, makes them unable. No one can perform it. So that's exactly what the Qur'an came to do, to incapacitate others. They could not produce three lines, Surah Al-Kawthar, subhanAllah. And when they did try to imitate the Qur'an, and the kuffar of Quraysh, it came out funny, it came out weird, people would laugh at them. Musaylim Al-Kadhab, for example. Why was he called Al-Kadhab? Because he claimed prophethood, right? Claimed prophethood. And also he gave himself a name that's not befitting, he lied. He called himself Rahman. Rahman al-Yamama, and Allah is Ar-Rahman. Ar-Rahman, like many other names, is a name khas lillahi ta'ala. It's exclusive to Allah. No one can take the name Rahman. No one. Abdul Rahman, slave of Ar-Rahman, no problem. When you put Abd in front of any name of Allah, it's okay. But Ar-Rahman, to name someone Rahman is not allowed. Even as a surname. To name someone Al-Wahhab, also not allowed. To name someone Allah, also not allowed. You see, there are particular names that are exclusive to Allah. Whereas some names we can share. Usually names that rhyme with fa'il, like Kareem, Alim, Basir, Hakim. No problem. Right? You can name people, your children, etc. with those names. But Rahman? No. So he called himself Rahman al-Yamama. So he earned the name Musaylim al-Kadhab. And not Kadhib, it's Kadhab. When a shadda is inserted into a word, usually it indicates al-istimrar, wa-tikrar, repetition. The shadda in a word usually indicates repetition. Kadhib lies once, here and there. Kadhab, continuous lying, perpetual lying. So if someone lied once, you don't call them kadhab, you say kadhib. Right? In Arabic, subhanAllah, it's amazing, there are words that have different levels. They're all derived from, for example, the same root word, kadhaba and kadhiba. Then you have kadhib, kadhub, kadhab, different levels, you see. So al-muhim, he earned the name of Musaylim al-Kadhab, the liar, for many more reasons than one. Amr ibn al-As, radiallahu anhu, once approached Musaylim al-Kadhab, and this is when Amr ibn al-As wasn't yet a Muslim. And so, Musaylim asked him, is there any news about this man Muhammad, this, prophet? He said, yes, a surah was revealed to him recently. Really? What was that? Surah Al-Kawthar. He says, oh, okay. You know what? A surah has been revealed to me also. Really, Musaylima? Let's hear it. So he recited, يَا أَيُّهَا الدِّحْدَاحِ إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ تُفَّاحِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَرْتَاحِ O dihdah, O short one, O dumpy one, O midget. Maybe because he was so short. We've given you the tufah, the apple. Allah gave Rasulullah the kawthar, he got the apple. فَصَلِّ رَبِّكَ وَرْتَاحِ Pray to your master and take a break. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, the true prophet, praying all night. Musaylima, the false prophet, sleeping all night. Allahu Akbar. And he also came up with another version, like a remix version. He's got different versions to his surah. Like different versions to songs, he's got different versions to his surah. Another one was, إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْمِفْتَاحِ عَفْوًا. SubhanAllah, they all messed up, it's hard to remember all of them. إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ الْجَوَاهِرِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَهَاجِرِ إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ وَالْفَاجِرِ We've given you the jawahir. Now the word jawahir is plural form jawhar, and we explained last night that when words rhyme with fawal, it means something valuable. So fawal, jawhar, kawthar. And we said jawhar is jewels. So he wanted to make it rhyme with kawthar, but he says, you know what? I'll take the plural form of the word, jawahir. jewelry upon jewelry. He just wanted people's money. إِنَّا عَطَيْنَاكَ الْجَوَاهِرِ فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ وَهَاجِرِ Pray to your master and hajir. You know, hijrah, abandon the people. You know, people were hating on him, leaving him. So he goes, no, I'm leaving you, you're not leaving me. Yeah, he wanted to turn it on them. إِنَّ شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْفَاجِرِ The one who hates you is a fajir. Because everyone was insulting him and hating him. He goes, no, you're the fajir for hating me. You see, once again trying to turn the situation on the people. Allahumma musta'an. So as we can see, subhanAllah, the creative marvel once again and the articulation, the eloquence of the Qur'an that was unmatched. Yani, when a Christian Arab of today will come up to you and say, there's a mistake in your Qur'an, they say, your ancestors, the Mushrikun of Quraysh, didn't even say this, and they were the masters of the Arabic language, who are you? They can't match the Qur'an. The Christian Arabs of today, they can't match it. If the Kuffar of Quraysh couldn't match it, you think they're going to match it? Of course not. So don't be deceived by their rhetoric when they say there are mistakes. They try to put doubts in your mind. They'll come with words, as we said last night, they'll say that your Lord prays to Muhammad. What's the proof? What would they say? إِنَّ اللَّهَ وَمَلَائِكَتَهُ يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِيِّ They'll say, see, your Lord and the angels pray, يُصَلُّونَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ We said last night, who can give the answer by the way? Who knows the answer? What does صَلُّونَ عَلَى mean? صَلَّ عَلَى I can't hear, sorry brother. Yes, what, yes, it is صَلَّ عَلَى upon. عَلَى means upon. So what does صَلَّ عَلَى mean? Has many meanings. We said, among the meanings is الدُّعَاء, make dua for him, and also praise. In Arabic there are many ways to praise, as madaha, hamida, سَمِيَ اللَّهُ لِمَنْ حَمِدَ, right? And there's أَثْنَى عَلَى and there's صَلَّ عَلَى. So Allah is praising Rasulullah, because the word da'ala is included. When you include another word after a verb, changes the whole meaning. As we illustrated last night, if you just change a haraka, it can change a meaning. Imagine a placing a different word right after it. So as you can see, يُصَلُّونَ عَلَى النَّبِي doesn't mean that Allah prays to, no. Praise for, one meaning, and also to praise. Okay? To commend. Right? Because Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the praised one. Alayhi salatu wa sallam. We're going to, inshallah ta'ala, start with a study of Surah Al-Kawthar today, as we said. And this is more of an introduction. We're going to have a break shortly. And then after the break, we'll actually start with the first ayah. But it's very important that we understand that what we are reciting. Allah, in Surah Al-Baqarah, admonishes Banu Israel for their lack of understanding of the scripture that was sent down to them. Allah ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُونَ And among them are unlettered ones. You know the word ummi? It came from the word Who's your Your mother. Say ummi, mother, right? So the ummi is translated illiterate, unlettered, because he can't read and write, as if his mother gave birth to him. You know, the day your mother gives birth to you, you can't read and write? So that's why they're called ummi, from mother. Allah Ta'ala says, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيَّ They don't know the book, except amani. Amani here is translated as wishful thinking. Because in Arabic, when you say atamanna, it means I wish. Okay, so if you know someone called amani, okay, that's what the name means, literally wishes, right? But what does amani really mean? Ibn Abbas, radiallahu anhuma, he gave tafsir of the word amani. He said, al-amani bima'na tilawa. يعلمونه حفظا وقراءة فقط بلا فهم لا يدرون ما فيها أماني means recitation They know it by its memorization and recitation without understanding the meanings therein SubhanAllah Allah is complaining of the state of Banu Israel who received the Torah received the scripture of old and their situation is that they recite the book They read the book, they memorize the book, but where do they fail? Understanding their book. If I were to ask you today, who is a nation that loves their book, recites their book, reads their book, memorizes their book, but the vast majority of them don't understand their book, who would you say that is? The Muslims. Us. That's scary. These stories of Banu Israel are not meant to be fairy tales that we read, oh mashallah, alhamdulillah, I'm not like them, let's sleep good at night. No, it's meant to drive us to action. Allah Ta'ala is mentioning their faults so we don't fall into them. So let's not be among those who Allah Ta'ala dispraised and admonished for not understanding their books. So we need to understand, especially these short surah of Juz Amma. Allah Ta'ala, out of His wisdom, knew that most of the ummah won't go past the short surah of the Quran. Thus they're packed with lessons, pearls and gems. So let's make an effort to try to understand them. You know, alhamdulillah, tafsir is readily available today. It's been, tafsir Ibn Kathir and others have been translated into English, into Urdu. You know, you can, you know, read every, maybe a page a day, have a program for yourself. You can download some lectures, you know, put it on a CD while you're driving, while you're shopping, while you're exercising. Alhamdulillah, we can take advantage of our time and try to understand the Book of Allah. So, would you like to take a break? How long have we been going for, Akhi? We've been going for 20 minutes? Okay. I'd like to keep the lessons, we can do like a few short sessions. That way it keeps you alert and, you know, it's good that we can keep interactive. We can have short breaks. There's no way we're going to go for three and a half hours straight. And that's overkill. So I'm thinking short, you know, sessions. We can stop now or we can go for another 5 or 10 minutes and then have a break. Okay. Before we get into the surah itself, we're going to look at how this surah links with the surah next to it. And that's how all of the surah of the Quran are. I want you, next time you approach the Quran, approach it with a different attitude, different mind frame. The word surah came from the word sur. Sur is with a seen, okay? Surah with a seen. Not surah with a sad. A surah with a sad is a picture. Okay? Surah. No, this is surah with a seen. Okay, from the word sur in Arabic. A sur is a fence. A sur is a fence. And it's also used as a wall. I want you to imagine a home. Okay? The fence is around it. That home has many rooms. Many areas. There's the bathroom, bedroom, office, garage, kitchen, etc. Right? Now they're different rooms, but aren't they all connected in the same house? Yes, they are. They're all connected within the surah. It connects everything on the inside. And that's exactly what the surah does. It connects everything on the inside. All the ayat, they link. They link. And just as a surah, a fence, separates one home from another, the surah of the Quran are separated from each other as well. Right? Surah Al-Fatiha, Al-Baqarah, إلى آخره. So it separates things as well. So it keeps things on the inside and it separates things. Those are the two main functions of this surah. And as we know, houses connect to form a street. Streets connect to form a suburb. Suburbs connect to form states. States connect to form countries. Countries form nations. Nations form the world. Right? That's exactly how the Quran is, subhanAllah. The ayat connect to form a surah, then the surah will connect to form a hizb, that'll connect to form a juz', then that'll form ajza, and then you have the whole Quran. So it's like a jumla wahida. Many of the scholars of the past, like Al-Razi and others, said that the Quran is like one single sentence, connected straight away. You find there's a link between the first ayah up until the last ayah. From Al-Fatiha up until Surah An-Nas. And for those who were here last time, we showed some of the connections between Surah Al-Fatiha and Surah An-Nas. So say, okay, connect the first ayah of the Qur'an to the last ayah of the Qur'an. Who can do so? What's the first ayah of the Qur'an from Al-Fatiha? Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. And there is a difference of opinion that, is this the first ayah or the Basmala? There's a difference of opinion. However, if we look at the hadith where Allah Ta'ala says He split the salah, and another name for al-Fatiha is as-salah, because your salah is not accepted without it. Allah Ta'ala started with Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. So, based on that, myself, and of course I take that opinion based on what many of the ulama have stated. But there is room for difference here. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, first ayah. What's the last ayah of the Quran? من الجنة والناس. What's the connection? What's the connection? Good, that's true, that's true. But how does it connect to Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen? If you look at the first ayah of Surah An-Nas, how does it begin? قُلْ أَعُوذُ بِرَبِّ النَّاسِ. Rab, okay? Rab is mentioned. That name Rab is also mentioned in the first ayah of Al-Fatiha. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. So the one you're seeking protection, Ahsan brother, from is Allah the Rabb, the Master. The Master. You're asking the Master to protect you from the evil from Jinnati wa Nas. That's one way you can look at it. Because true protection comes when you're the Abd. And that's a connection. Rabb, Abd. When you hear Rabb, you need to think of a relationship. You need to think of a relationship. Like when you hear the name teacher. When you hear teacher, who do you think? Student. When you hear father, son. Mother, daughter. Employer, employee, right? Relationship. So when you hear Rab, Abd, master and slave, there's a relationship. The best way to get protection from Allah is to be the slave of Allah. The Abd. The Abd. When you're listening to what Allah wants, you get protection. And that's why, subhanAllah, if you look at the first word of Surah An-Nas, it's قُل. قُل is a command. It's a command, right? فِعَلُ أَمْرٍ in Arabic. Allah Ta'ala is saying, do this. Okay, I'll do it. You've obeyed Allah. When you obey Allah, have you worshipped Him? You have. When you worship Allah, you are now eligible for protection. So you're entering into His worship before you enter into His protection. In other words, if you want Allah to listen to you, you need to listen to Him. Very simple. You can imagine a child. Dad, I want a PlayStation. Dad, I want a PlayStation. Dad, Dad, Dad. Before you kick me out of the room and say, get out of here, little brat. Think, okay, wait a minute. No, I'm not going to give you a PlayStation. You don't do what you're told. You don't take out the rubbish when I tell you. You don't do your homework. You don't pray on time. You don't clean your room. No. So if you want something, you better listen. So likewise, if we want the protection, we need to be slaves to listen to what Allah wants us. And listen to what Allah wants us to do. The second way the first ayah connects to the last ayah is that Rabbul Alameen, Alhamdulillah Rabbul Alameen, is commonly translated as the Lord of the worlds. Now Alameen, Alameen is not everything that exists. Unfortunately that's what it's translated. It rhymes with Muslimin, Mu'mineen, Salihin, right? Alameen, you see? If it was everything, creatures, stones, trees, rocks, oceans, it would have been Awalim. There's another word for that. Awalim includes everything. Alameen is more specific. More specific. As we said, around with Mu'mineen, Salihin. Okay? And those terms are usually given to people. Okay? The believers, Muslims, and the jinn. Human and jinn. Right? Mu'mineen, Muslimin, Salihin, Alameen. It's given to the people and the jinn. So Rabbul Alameen, the Rabb of mankind and jinn. So what's the last ayah of the Quran? Min al-jinnati wa al-nas, subhanAllah. Jinn and mankind. And the fact that it's Rabb, Allah Ta'ala is telling us, from the beginning of the Quran to the end of the Quran, Allah is Rabbul Alameen, is the master of mankind and jinn. In other words, from the beginning of our lives to the end of our lives, in fact, up until the day of judgment, Allah is still Rabbul Alameen. See that beautiful lesson that you can derive from the first ayah up into the last ayah? So we can see that they're all linked. Based on that, let's look at the link now of Surah Al-Kawthar with the surah around it. And of course, once we finish, inshallah ta'ala, today, the study of Surah Al-Kawthar, we're going to look at how all the ayat tie in together. What is the surah before Surah Al-Kawthar? If you're reading from Surah Al-Naba, you find it's Surah Al-Ma'un, then Surah Al-Kawthar, and then Surah Al-Kafirun. Let's link Surah Al-Ma'un with Surah Al-Kawthar. And by the way, if you want to open up the Mus'haf and, you know, maybe your phone, and that way you can look at the ayat and you can see the miracles and you can appreciate the Quran right before your very eyes. You're going to actually help me out here. We're going to keep this interactive. You're going to give me the answers, okay? Because what this will do, inshallah, it'll train you to look for particular things and appreciate the Qur'an more. Surah Al-Ma'un. This surah is mainly dealing with who? Good people, bad people, Muslims, hypocrites. Bad people, right? We know that. It's all about bad people. What about Al-Kafirun? Also the bad people, the kuffar, وَلِيَهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. So evil and evil, and what's in the middle? What's Surah Al-Kawthar mainly dealing with? The Kawthar Allah granted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Surah Al-Kawthar is talking about the best of creation, okay, mainly, and then it's in between the worst of creation, the kuffar. خَيْر, يعني we have خَيْرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ and شَرُ الْبَرِيَّةِ the kuffar. Now let's look at Al-Ma'un in detail. Allah describes the hypocrites in Surah Al-Ma'un with five main qualities and attributes. Number one, he describes that these people belie, reject and lie against the hereafter. What's the proof? Which ayah tells you about those people who reject and belie the hereafter? In Surah Al-Ma'un, which ayah? The first one, أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ. Deen here doesn't mean religion. Okay, it can mean that. But it's referring to here, Yawmuddin, the Day of Judgment. Because it came from the word Dain, and Dain is a loan. Do loans have to be paid back? They do. So it's a day of payback. Those who do good will be paid back. Those who do evil will be paid back. So that's why the Day of Judgment is also called Yawmuddin. That's the first characteristic. They reject the hereafter. Second, they are stingy, miserly. They don't want to give away their wealth. What's the proof? Which ayah is that? يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ, push away the yatim, the orphan. And وَلَا يَحُضُّ عَلَى طَعَامِ الْمِسْكِينِ. They don't even encourage the feeding of the miskin, the poor. Why? If they're encouraging it, someone might say, hey, what about you? What do you donate? Oh, I better not say anything so people don't look at me. You see, they're stingy they are. They're not even encouraging it, subhanAllah. The third quality of the hypocrites in Surah Al-Ma'un is that these people neglect the prayer. Neglect the prayer. What's the proof? فَوَيْلٌ لِلْمُصَلِّينَ. Then, الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. That's more the ayah that we want. Okay? And those who are سَاهُونَ in their salah. عَنْ صَلَاتِهِمْ سَاهُونَ. Fourth trait of the hypocrites is that they show off. What word indicates that? يُرَاءُونَ. فَرَأَى is to see. You see? يُرَاءُونَ, they show off. They're not doing things for the sake of Allah. And the last quality of the hypocrites mentioned in Surah Al-Ma'un is that these people forbid small acts of kindness. وَيَمْنَعُونَ الْمَعُونَ. So quickly, those five traits, what are they? They reject hereafter. Number two, they are stingy, miserly. Three, they neglect the salah. Good. Four, they show off, not sincere to Allah. And five, they forbid small acts of kindness. Now let's look at Surah Al-Kawthar. Surah Al-Kawthar is in the exact opposite to those five qualities. It also mentions five qualities, but five qualities that are antithetical and opposite to these five hypocritical qualities. Number one, we said the hypocrites in Surah Al-Ma'un reject the hereafter. The opening of Surah Al-Kawthar affirms belief in the hereafter. Al-Kawthar, one of the meanings is a river in Jannah, paradise, you see? Belief in the hereafter. We said the second quality of the hypocrites was they are miserly. They are stingy with their wealth. So what's the proof? What quality is opposite to that in Al-Kawthar? Allah's generosity. Inna a'tainaka al-kawthar. He said Allah's generous nature. How much He gave Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we highlighted last night. We said number three, the hypocrites, they are neglectful of their prayer. What is opposite in Al-Kawthar to that? Fasalli. You see? Salah, subhanAllah. Al-Ma'un, we said the hypocrites also show off. What's the quality that is opposite to that in Al-Kawthar? لِرَبِّكَ. Okay, for the sake of Allah, to Allah, to your master, you see? Al-Ikhlas. Not فَصَلِّ لِلنَّاسِ. Okay, don't pray for the people or to the people, you see, pray to Allah. And the last quality, as we said, mentioned in Al-Ma'un, of the hypocrites was that they forbid more acts of kindness, whereas Allah Ta'ala is telling us in Surah Al-Kawthar to do the opposite, which is to give abundantly and not to give for any return. And that is one harb. And we're going to explain that in detail. One harb, to sacrifice the animal and to distribute its meat to the poor and needy, etc. Also, another link between Al-Ma'un and Al-Kawthar is that we find in Surah Al-Ma'un, Allah does not address the kuffar directly. He does not address the hypocrites directly. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي. Have you seen the one? يُكَذِبُ بِالدِّينِ. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي. That one. الَّذِي. That one. That one. You know when you're angry with someone, you don't want to talk to them? I say, Brother Ihsan, go tell that brother, I don't want to see his face, right? I don't want to hear him, right? You know when you're angry with someone, you block them? That's why you got that blocking function in your phone, right? People keep contacting you, just block them. I don't even want to speak to them, right? Talk to the hand. Or that kid at school, they get in trouble, or face the corner, I don't want to see your face, right? Or the parent will say that to the child. So likewise, Allah is blocking them, literally. He's blocking, doesn't want to talk to them. They don't deserve Allah's addressing, subhanAllah. So you find Surah Al-Ma'un, Allah is not addressing the hypocrites directly. Whereas in Al-Kawthar, due to Allah's love, He's addressing Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam directly. إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ كَافَلْ مُخَاطَبْ. To address someone, أَعْطَيْنَاكَ. That's what I say, كَيْفَ حَالُكَ. Right? And to a female, كَيْفَ حَالُكِ. كَافَ الْمُخَاطَبْ. When you're talking to someone directly, because Allah loves Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam so much, He addresses him directly. So that's the second way we can see the link between Surah Al-Kawthar and Surah Al-Ma'un. Thirdly, is that we find in Surah Al-Ma'un, Allah is admonishing the hypocrites for their lack of goodness towards the Creator and lack of goodness towards the creation. Whereas Surah Al-Kawthar, it's the opposite. Because Islam is built upon these two prime columns and principles. Goodness towards the Creator, goodness towards the creation. If someone asked you to summarize Islam in one sentence, you can say that. Goodness towards the Creator, goodness towards the creation. Over and over in the Quran, we read and recite. أَقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ. Then, وَآتُ الزَّكَاةِ. The salah is for the Creator. The zakah is for the creation. Distribute the wealth, you see. So we find in Surah Al-Ma'un, this is what the hypocrites don't do. They don't believe in the hereafter, they reject the signs of Allah, no goodness towards the Creator, and they don't even encourage the feeding of the poor, no goodness towards the creation. You see? And when they do pray, they're neglectful, again showing us they're not dutiful and not good towards the Creator. Whereas Surah Al-Kawthar, no. We have goodness towards the Creator, فَصَلِّ. And then, one har, goodness towards the creation, subhanAllah. And that's why Ibn Taymiyyah, rahimahullah, when asked, who is Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah? He said, أَعْلَمُ نَاسِ بِالْحَقِّ وَأَرْحَمُ نَاسِ بِالْخَلْقِ. The most knowledgeable of the truth and the most merciful to the creation. So having knowledge of Allah, they know the truth, they know the revelation, goodness towards the Creator, and then showing mercy to the creation. Now let's look at the link between Surah Al-Kawthar and the surah that comes after that, which was Surah Al-Kafirun. Surah Al-Kafirun deals with the enemies of Islam. The whole surah is dealing mainly with the enemies of Islam. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. The opening ayah deals with addressing the enemies, addressing the kuffar, the unbelievers. And the last ayah of Surah Al-Kawthar is إِنَّا شَانِئَكَ هُوَ الْأَبْتَرُ. The kuffar as well. You see, so the last ayah is like a lead up to what is coming after that in the next surah, subhanAllah. Like I said, you can look in the Quran and you can ponder over these yani meanings for all the surah. You know, don't restrict yourself to what you're learning here today. You can go over them and you may want to even, you know, speak with a sheikh if you want to check your understanding. Something which is, you know, a must. The second link between Al-Kawthar and Al-Kafirun is that Allah addresses His Messenger directly in Al-Kafirun with the word قُلْ. قُلْ يَا مُحَمَّدْ. قُلْ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. قُلْ. See, it's a direct addressment. It's a direct address to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Ta'ala did this in Surah Al-Kawthar as well. إِنَّ أَعْطَيْنَاكَ. So the opening ayah of each surah is a direct address from Allah to His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what does that indicate? What did we say when Allah addresses directly? His love. His love. Number three. Al-Kawthar links with Al-Kafirun in the sense that Allah didn't address the kuffar in Al-Kafirun and likewise in Al-Kawthar. Allah Ta'ala says, Inna shani'aka, the one who hates you, that one who will abtar. He didn't address the kuffar and likewise in Surah Al-Kafirun. قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا الْكَافِرُونَ. You say this to the kuffar. You say, so Allah Ta'ala once again does not address the enemies. In Al-Kafirun, we are saying, لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. لَا أَعْبُدُ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ. I don't worship who you worship. عَبَد, يعني عَبَدَ in Arabic is not restricted to worship. What's the Arabic word for slave? عَبْد. عَبْد. And what is the word for worship? عَبَدَ. What do you notice about the word عَبْد and عَبَدَ? What do you notice? They share the exact same letters, right? Letters. And we said when words share letters, they share meaning. Remember that as a general rule. When words share letters, they share meaning. So عَبَدَ and عَبْد, exact same letters. The عَيْن, ba, and دَال. So عَبَدَ is to worship, whereas عَبْد is a slave. Allah doesn't just want us to worship. He wants us to also become slaves. A person who prays their five daily prayers, they're worshipping Allah, right? Five times a day. When you pray Fajr, you're in a state of worship. When you pray Dhuhr, you're in a state of worship. But the question is, what are we doing between those prayers? Are we slaves? Are we slaves of Allah or slaves of Shaytan? You see, so when we hear Allah, okay, it's not just worship Allah, but also enslave yourself to Allah. And this is something which is a praiseworthy thing. We are proud, and we say it loud and proud, that we are slaves of Allah. We're happy to say this. Don't let the kuffar tell you otherwise and put doubts in your mind. Oh, you are oppressed, you're shackled, you are backwards, you know, you are slaves. I say, you know what? That's true. I agree with you. What? Give them shock value. So I agree with you. I'm shackled by the chains of this dunya. And I'm enslaved to my merciful master. And I'm bound by the superior laws of the Sharia. This is a compliment. This is a compliment to be a slave of Allah. You know, and to be a slave is something that usually people associate with cruelty, torture, oppression, right? Think of these slaves, those who were taken as captives, for example, the indigenous Australians, or the red Indians, for example, in America. They were tortured and, you know, massacred, etc. So when people hear slave, I don't like that word. But if you look at Surah Al-Fatiha, after Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, Rabb, we said Rabb al-Abd, I'm the slave. A person may get worried, who's this master, what's he going to do to me? What's the next ayah? Ar-Rahman, don't worry. It's not a relationship of oppression. It's a relationship of mercy. He's a master, yes, but he's the most merciful of masters, subhanAllah. This is a compliment to be a slave of Allah. And when Allah wanted to praise His Messenger, what did He call him? He didn't call him Rasul, didn't call him Nabi. He called him Abd. He referred to him as Abd. Even when we take our Shahada, وَأَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. Abd became first. Abd came first, because that's the greater compliment. Allah Ta'ala wanted to mention He took His slave on the night journey. سُبْحَانَ أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ. The night journey. نَزَّلَ الْفُرْقَانَ عَلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ. Also, revelation. When He took him on the journey, He referred to him as Abd. When Allah Ta'ala talked about revealing the revelation, He referred to him as Abd. قَامَ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ. Also, when Allah Ta'ala referred to him as giving da'wah, He referred to him as Abd. So look at all of these moments in the Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala referring to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Abd. That's a true compliment indeed. And the irony is that their so-called liberation in this world will grant them captivity in the hereafter, whereas our enslavement to Allah in this world will grant us freedom in the hereafter, subhanAllah. So we're happy to be slaves of Allah. So in Al-Kafirun we're saying, I don't worship, but also I don't enslave myself to what you worship and what you enslave to. Remember we said, abada doesn't just mean to worship, but to be a slave, to be a abd. And we find this now the opposite in Surah Al-Kawthar, because they may ask, okay, who do you worship and who do you enslave yourself to? The answer comes in Al-Kawthar. فَصَلِّ لِرَبِّكَ. Rabb, exact opposite to Abd, subhanAllah. Once again, yani Allahu Akbar, you find the links of each surah amazing. They tie in beautifully together. So those are the four main ways. And of course there are many more. We're not going to restrict the Qur'an. No one can ever restrict the Quran. How can we restrict something which is so great? The words of Allah. But these are just some mulahadat, some points that these scholars have put forth. I ask Allah Ta'ala to grant us all understanding of His amazing and articulate words. Ameen. جزاكم الله خيرا على حسن استماعكم. May Allah Ta'ala reward you for your benefit, yani for your attentive listening. We'll take a short break, maybe 10 minutes or so. And then we'll actually start with Surah Al-Kawthar itself, beginning with the first ayah. Now, if you wish to ask anything, maybe you'd like me to repeat something on what we said, you can use that opportunity now. Otherwise, you can, you know, go outside and have a break. Up to you.